Well, last week we learned about how our biases, our preconceived notions and ideas, and even our preferences can cause us to miss out on our blessings. While we're focusing on the picture that's in our head, the way we think it ought to be, we actually miss the greatest blessings right in front of us, even calling out to us. In 2017, we have a new year, which warrants new attitudes and new perspectives. But 2017 can also be filled with bountiful blessings if only we would do what God wants us to do. Number one, he invites us to step out of our comfort zone. Somebody say, step out of our comfort zone.
Step out of our comfort
zone. Say it a little louder so you can hear it yourself. Amen, amen. Step out of our comfort zone.
Okay. Yes.
Number two, trust God. Just two words. Trust God. And thirdly, I know you don't see this one coming, but stop creating and fighting battles that don't need to be fought. Stop creating and fighting battles that don't need to be fought. These battles, these fights, they are distractions, and they reflect too little faith and too much pride. I'm going to say that again. These battles that we fight that don't need to be fought are a reflection of too little faith and too much pride, and they distract from what God is trying to do in our lives. So God is calling us not just to allow him to fight our battles, but how about we even let God choose our battles? Amen?
Amen.
Today we're going to learn through the experiences of Isaac, the patriarch. There's so much more written about Jacob. There's so much more written about Abraham. Not so much is written about or talked about or preached about Isaac. We think about him carrying the wood with his father was going to sacrifice him. We think about him as he's ready to bless Esau, and he should have been blessing Jacob. We think about him on a few occasions, but today's text is going to allow us to focus on the one chapter in the entire Bible that's devoted to or focused on Isaac. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Our text will be found in the book of Genesis. Chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And we will be focused today mainly on verses 1 through 3, but also verses 12 through 32. That's a lot to cover. That's a lot to pack into one sermon, but we're going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as we approach our text, we find Isaac and his family, that is Rebekah and Jacob and Esau, and they're living in the southern portion of the Promised Land. Esau has just sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew. And that brings us to our text. Again, we're going to begin at verse 1. It reads, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." Verse 2. "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all of these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Now, this famine is just a challenge. It's just a stimulus. It's not the problem. It's just something to get Isaac to move into his destiny. Amen?
Amen?
The question is here, however, where should he go to deal with the famine? Where should he go? Now, he ends up in Gerar. But the challenge is, and the temptation is, to go to Egypt. You may not realize this, but in biblical days, Egypt was the place to go when you had trouble. There are many examples of it all throughout the Bible. And actually, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, just for a moment. Chapter 12, verse 10. I just want to show you how, in this particular case, Egypt was the easy choice. We think of Egypt in different ways because of the Red Sea and the Hebrews. But if you look all through the Bible, even from last week's sermon, right after we ended our sermon last week, our text, if you read further, you would see how the angel told Joseph to take Jesus down to where? Egypt. When Joseph in Genesis was kidnapped or sold into slavery, where was he sold to? Egypt. When there was a famine in the land and Jacob and the rest of the sons needed food, where did they go to get the food? Egypt. We could go on and on and on and find where Egypt was actually the place to go when you had problems, particularly a famine. It's part of the Fertile Crescent. Amen?
Amen.
But chapter 12, verse 10 reads, "And there was a famine in the land." Does that sound familiar? "And Abram," before his name was changed to Abraham, "went down where? Into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." The point here, as we go back to chapter 26, is that Isaac is being challenged with a famine. Egypt was his comfort zone. God is guiding him out of his comfort zone. What is your comfort zone this morning that God is guiding you out of? What is our comfort zone this morning? God is trying to challenge us in order to guide us out of. Amen?
Amen.
He's guiding him out of his comfort zone, but into a promise of blessings. Thank God for challenges that take us out of our comfort zones and into blessings. Amen? If we look further in verse 6 of chapter 26, we will see that Isaac did stay in Gerar. Now understand that Gerar is the opposite direction from Egypt. Keep that in mind. It's not next door to Egypt. You can't cheat like that. It's the opposite direction from Egypt. And as we go further in our text, we will see the results of his stepping out of his comfort zone and going where God called him and instructed him to go. Let's move over to verse 12 of chapter 26. It reads, "Then Isaac sowed in the land." So what did we learn first of all? He didn't just go there. He didn't just obey and go there. He actually got busy. "And received in what? The same year what? An hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, a hundredfold doesn't just mean a hundredfold. It's sort of like saying bountifully, like you can't even count it. Amen?
Amen.
Read verse 13 reads, "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants." And what happened after that? The Philistines envied him. How about getting so much blessings that folks can't stand you? So blessed that they can't even stand you. That's the kind of blessings that he got from doing what? Stepping out of his comfort zone and following the path that God ordained, not the easy way out. Amen?
Amen.
But the next part is even more important. As we look at verses 15 and 16, they read, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." This is how you begin to know that this was really out of his comfort zone. It sounds good because he was blessed, but Egypt was the comfort zone. This was not the comfort zone. Going to Gerar was in the promised land, which is where God ordained him to stay. But going to Gerar caused him to go into somewhat enemy territory. Abraham was prosperous, and Abraham had struck up a deal with them that they would not harm one another. And so that's why the wells stayed dug and had the names that Abraham called them during Abraham's life. But now that Abraham was dead, they're going back on those agreements, and they're filling all those wells that Abraham dug. Amen? So he's in Gerar, but he's not, and he has prospered, but he's not there among folks that always mean him well. Verse 16, and Abimelech, now this isn't a name, by the way, this is just the name that was given, or the title that's given to the leader of Gerar there with the Philistines, the Philistine leader. It's just like saying Pharaoh. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, get out of here, for thou art much mightier than we. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. He says, get out of here. I can't take it. You're too prosperous. Amen? So now the question is, now that he's told Isaac to get out, God told him to go to Gerar, did he not? He told him that he was going to be with him and what? And bless him. He's gone there and God has blessed him, right? And now the people there are starting to turn against him now that his father's dead. And the leader has come to him and told him to get out. Now, what should he do? How should he respond is the question. Should he fight? Should he fight for what's his? Should he hold his ground? Let's find out. Verse 17. And Isaac departed thence. He left. Would you have left? Or would you have stood and fought? Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. In other words, he leaves the city. He leaves the main city. If I'm Gerar, then he goes out here and he sits in my seat out here. He says, okay, that's fine. I'll leave. Would we leave? Is it right to leave? Are you just thinking about it? This is what he chose to do. He chose to leave. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. Like I said, his father had sojourned in this land before. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Amen? So by digging these wells, the implication is that he is making a claim on the land. Even if he wasn't trying to, that would be the interpretation by those around him, particularly the Philistines. Read verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, now outside of the main city, and they found there what? A well of springing water. Wouldn't you know, he is still being blessed. Now, he didn't stand there and fight for that little piece of land. He said, that's all right. I'll move outside of the city. I will dig the wells that my father had dug before. I will go through all of that work. And what did he get? He got a well of springing water. So this isn't just well water you've got to go down there and get. This is well water that wants to come up. Amen? It's a special blessing. Let's go to verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar, that is the Philistines, did strive or contend with Isaac's herdmen, saying, this water is ours. And he called the name, therefore, of that well, Essek, because they strove with him. Essek means contention or dispute. So whatever the well's name was before, Isaac named it Essek because this well was the well of dispute because these men, these Philistines from Gerar, disputed with him over those wells. Now he's already given them their space. He's already moved away from the place that they asked him to move away from. He's already gone out of the city. And he said, that's fine, I'll leave. And he began to prosper there, and they couldn't handle that. And so they began to contend with him or dispute with him. Verse 21. And they digged another well. So he went even further out. He went back into the second row, amen? Even further away from where he started, and digged another well and strove for that also. So further contention. And he called the name of it what? Sitna. Sitna means hostility or hatred. So it started out that they were just contending with him. But now they keep on following him. No matter how far away from the central city he moves, he sees it's clear that they are hostile. There is hatred here. And this word Sitna comes from the same base word that Satan comes from. Amen? What should Isaac do now? He's moved away, and he's moved away even further, and they continue to contend with him. They continue to bother him. They continue to want to take away his blessings. Are you thinking at this point that Isaac is maybe weak? Are you thinking that he's passive because he continues to move further and further away? Is that what we're thinking about him? Many commentators have said that, that maybe Isaac was weak. But let's look at verse 22. Here's what Isaac did. And he removed from thence and digged another well. He moved even further away. And for that they strove not. He's finally going to get some peace. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Rehoboth means enlargement or broad place. So finally, he actually has room to be fruitful, and he has peace. Amen?
Amen.
Now, verse 23 reads, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. That's a place that his father had settled, and he felt like it was very much like home to him. Verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. This goes just like what he said back in verse 3, where he said, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. Now understand this word where he says, I am with thee. That does not mean I will favor you. It actually means I will be with you. It means it implies proximity. So wherever you are in a place, he says, I will choose to bless you no matter where your feet land. I am with you, and so wherever you are, the blessings will be there that I promised. This goes to place. Sometimes we lose perspective about place. And Isaac could have fought. He could have striven. He could have contended further. He could have fought tooth and nail for that one patch of land that he was blessed on in the first place. But instead he chose to move on. And everywhere he went, God blessed him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It wasn't about the place. It was about who was with him in the place and the promises that he gave him. Let's look at verses 26 through 29. It reads, then Abimelech went to him, that is, went to Isaac from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, he brought friends, and Phicol, who was the chief captain of his army. So he comes to Isaac, and what does he say? Verse 27. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me? Why are you coming to me? Seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you. So why now? I've left and I've gone to the further away from the city and further away from the city and further away from the city. And I've dug and God's blessed me and I've dug and God's blessed me. But you weren't happy with that. I finally got to a place where you're not fighting with me. And now you come over here. What could you possibly want with me? Verse 28, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was what? With thee. So they saw very clearly that the Lord was with him. Now, what, as we read this, does it look like? It looks like everywhere he goes, he gets kicked out. Everywhere he goes, he gets disappointment. Everywhere he goes, he gets problems. But what they saw was everywhere he goes, he gets blessings. Everywhere he goes, no matter what they tried to do, they could see clearly, whether he could or not, that God was with him. Amen? Amen? No matter what they did to him, no matter how often they pushed him further away, they could not stop his blessings. The blessings showed up wherever he showed up, because wherever he showed up, that's where God was, because he was in God's will. So it was obvious to the Philistines because God was with him. Amen? Amen? God had promised him all of the land. So why would he fight or find it critical or important to fight over one piece of land? Why would it matter where he settled since God promised him what? All of the land. Amen? Amen. So why would it make sense for him to fight over every little inch of each town that he settled in? It wouldn't. Verses 30 and 31. And so he makes a feast there, and they did eat and drink. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a little something there for you, didn't I? Mm-hmm. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us. Let's have a treaty, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, similar to what happened with his father. For thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good. That's kind of true. And had sent thee away in peace. We sent you away, but we didn't beat you down. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Verse 30, and he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. 31, and they rose up betimes in the morning after drinking that night and feasting that night, and swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now, this is the most important part here. This is the cherry on the top, rather. Verse 32 and 33. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Yet again, the blessings follow him. 33, and he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Even in this place, he is blessed. Why? Because God told him to stay in the promised land. Don't take the easy way out. Don't go with his comfort zone in Egypt. And he had followed God's instructions. The question today is, are we missing any of our blessings because we're holding on too tightly to our comfort zone? How many battles are we fighting or asking God to fight for us that don't need to be fought? Are we fighting for pride's sake? Is that why we fight? Are we fighting because we don't trust God? Is that why we're holding on so tightly? Are we mad at God for not fighting battles that we've prayed and asked him to fight for us, for not fighting against our enemies, for not going up against our adversaries. God doesn't have to go against your adversaries in order to bless you. Did we know that? Remember that with God being with you, that is proximity, literally with you, not just in favor of you, but with you, and you being in his will supersedes all other matters. Amen?
Amen.
All the things that you can fret or fight over are actually subordinate to the fact that you are with God and he is with you. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. So what we should do in 2017, this should be your year of massive blessings and favor. Now we know what to do. It's just a matter of doing it. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Amen?
Amen.
We need to stop fighting battles that don't need to be fought. We need to stop creating battles that don't need to be fought, all because we want a thing. Even if God has promised it to you, God's going to take care of that. He doesn't need us to create or fight battles that don't need to be fought. He does not have to destroy your enemy in order to bless you. So don't get mad at God because he doesn't destroy that person or doesn't fight up against your adversary. What's he doing for you? Everywhere Isaac went, he was blessed. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how much they pushed him away. But the key is, how did Isaac respond each time? He responded as if he remembered and believed God. God said, I will be with you. So if he moves a little bit further out of Gerar, where is God? With him. So what's going to happen? God's promises. What did God promise? Blessings. He went further out away from Gerar. Who was with him? God. So what's going to be there? Blessings. Why? Because he promised. So there was no reason to fight. He had God. God had promised him all of this. Why fight over this? Why fight over that? Why get prideful about the fact that this belongs to me? That's you fighting a battle that you shouldn't be fighting. God's going to take care of his business. He said he would be with you, and so he will be, and bountiful blessings will follow. Let's give the Lord a hand.